Will We Know One Another in Heaven? By J.C. Ryle in the year 1870. I feel sorry for the person who never thinks about heaven, the future dwelling place of all true Christians. It would be a worldly mind that never contemplates heaven. We may die at any time. Sooner or later, we will all die. The youngest, the strongest, and the most intelligent will succumb one day to death. This world will not continue as it is forever. Its activities will eventually come to an end. Jesus, the King of Kings, will come, take his great power, and reign over the universe. His great white throne judgment will occur. All the wicked unbelievers will be thrown into hell, and all true Christians will enter heaven. Where do we hope to go when we die? If we truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, our promised hope is to go to heaven. Now, what will heaven be like? It is indeed a profound question, but there is nothing wrong with exploring it in our minds. Today, a person about to move to another country naturally wants to know something about their future home. The climate, the activities, the inhabitants, the customs, all these are subjects of great interest to them. Likewise, as we leave our birthplace and prepare to spend the rest of our lives in a new world, it would be strange if we did not desire information about our new home. If we hope to dwell forever in that better country, a heavenly one, we should seek all the knowledge we can. Before we go to our eternal home, we should strive to become acquainted with it. There are many things about heaven revealed in Scripture that I will purposely skip over. Heaven is a place prepared for a prepared people, and all those in heaven will share the same mind and experience. Chosen by the same Father, God the Holy Father, washed in the same atoning blood of Christ, and regenerated by the same Holy Spirit, and living a life of perfect holiness, love, and knowledge. It is sufficient to say that heaven is the eternal presence of everything that can bring joy to a saint and the eternal absence of everything that can cause sorrow. Listen to what the inspired Apostle John says about heaven and those who go there. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. And they will reign forever and ever. They will never again be hungry or thirsty. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. In heaven, the dwelling of God is with men and women, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. But I will not dwell on these things. I purposely skip over them all. In this message, I want to focus on one point of deep and significant interest: the mutual recognition of saints in the next world. I want to examine the question, will we know one another in heaven? Now, what does the scripture say about this subject? That is the only thing that truly matters to me. I acknowledge not many Bible verses directly address this topic. I fully recognize that pious and learned theologians do not all agree with my viewpoint. I have listened to many fanciful arguments against the view I hold. However, I cannot consider any person my ultimate authority in theology. My only aim and desire is to discover what the Bible says and base my stance upon his teaching. Let us consider what the Apostle Paul said to the Thessalonians. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? These words surely indicate that the apostle expected to recognize his beloved Thessalonian converts at the time of Christ's second coming. He rejoiced in the thought of seeing them face to face on the last day, in the presence of his Savior, standing beside them, before the throne, and being able to say, "Here I am, and the believers you gave me to minister to on earth." Let us also consider what the same apostle says in the same epistle to comfort mourners. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. These consoling words would be pointless if they did not imply the mutual recognition of saints. The hope which Paul encourages weary Christians is the hope of being reunited with their beloved departed ones. He does not merely say, "Do not grieve, for they are at rest. They are happy. They are free from pain and trouble. They are better off than they were here on earth." No, he goes a step further. He says, God will bring them with Jesus Christ when he brings them back to the world during the millennial kingdom. You are not permanently separated. You will meet again. I urge you to consider these three passages carefully. To me, they all seem to point to one conclusion. They all imply the same great truth, that saints in heaven will recognize one another. They will possess the same body and character they had on earth. Yet, a body perfected and transformed like Christ's resurrected body, but still the same body. They will have a character perfected and purified from all sin, yet still the same character. As saved individuals, when we meet our friends in heaven, we will instantly recognize them and they will remember us. This prospect is indescribably glorious to me. Few things fill me with such anticipation when I think of the future blessings. It will not be a strange place for us when we reach heaven. We will not be burdened with a cold, shy, or distant feeling of knowing nothing about our companions. We will feel at home. We will see all those we have read about in Scripture, recognizing them all, and appreciate the unique graces of each individual. We will sit down with Peter, James, John, and Paul, and remember all their toil in laying the foundations of the church. That knowledge and fellowship will be blessed and glorious. If it is delightful now to occasionally meet one or two saints on this earth, then what will it be like to know them all and dwell with them forever? This prospect is not only glorious, but also deeply comforting. It illuminates the valley of the shadow of death. It diminishes the fear associated with sickness and the grave. Our beloved friends who have fallen asleep in Christ are not lost, but have gone ahead of us. The children of the same God, who partake of the same grace, cannot remain separated for long. They are certain to be reunited when this world has passed away. Today, our present communion with Christian friends is only temporarily interrupted and will be eternally resumed. These eyes will once again behold their faces, and these ears will hear their voices. We may have experienced sorrowful farewells, but will be united in joy. We may have faced pain, illness, and weakness, but in heaven, we will have glorious bodies capable of serving the Lord without distraction. Oh, the blessed thought that saints will recognize one another in heaven. Surely, next to the thought of seeing Christ in heaven, there is no more blessed and joyful thought than recognizing one another. But yet, we need to ask ourselves, will we reach heaven at all? Ultimately, this is the crucial question that this subject should compel us to consider and face boldly. What good does it do to ponder theories about the afterlife if we do not know whether we will be saved or damned on the last day? Let us awaken our sluggish minds to contemplate this momentous question. We must always remember that heaven is not a place where everyone will automatically go. Heaven, I repeat, is a prepared place for a prepared people. The inhabitants of heaven will be of one heart and in one mind, sharing one faith and one character. They will be ready to recognize one another. But are we prepared for heaven? Will we reach heaven? Why would we not reach heaven? Let us confront that question and examine it honestly. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, who is able and willing to save completely all who come to God through him. The Lord Jesus Christ died for sinners on the cross, paying the immense debt with his own blood. He is currently seated at God's right hand, ready to be the advocate and friend of all who desire salvation. He is waiting graciously at this very moment. Surely, if we do not go to heaven, the fault will entirely be our own. Let us rise and take hold of the hand extended to us from heaven. Let us never forget the promise that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you have a solid hope of reaching heaven? A hope grounded in Scripture, reasonable, and withstand scrutiny? If so, let us not be afraid to contemplate the subject of heaven often and rejoice in the anticipation of the blessings to come. Amen.